You're listening to the new security broadcast from the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program. In today's episode, we're sharing remarks made by Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, Secretary John Kerry, at a recent Wilson Center event hosted by the Latin American Program and the Embassy of Panama. The event put a spotlight on next month's Our Oceans Conference. Hosted in Panama, the 8th Our Oceans Conference will bring together government officials, the private sector, civil society, and academia from all over the world to encourage ambitious national commitments for marine protection, sustainable blue economies, and maritime security. Leaning into the motto for this year's conference, Our Ocean, Our Connection, Secretary Kerry articulates the importance of next month's global convening and the foundational role of the ocean in the health of our biosphere, in global food security, in climate action, and in global economic prosperity.
We are living in a pretty extraordinary time when the connections between all of us on the planet have never been more clear or more imperative. And it's hard for some people in some places in the world to think about the ocean as something that could possibly be threatened. It's so vast, it's three-quarters of our planet. And we know that through all of history, the oceans have been playing a central role in the life of so many nations on the planet. I want to thank Foreign Minister Tawani for the willingness of Panama, a great little nation, to step up and host the world for something that impacts the world. And that is something that a lot of people don't really think about. I hate to say it, and I don't say that pejoratively. I mean, life is complicated nowadays, and everybody's running around 100,000 miles an hour. But what we don't talk about enough is the meaning of an ecosystem. An ecosystem is what the planet is. It's a biosphere. Everything is connected. And people don't think about that. They think, oh my God, you can just put your waste in the ocean, you can dump off of ships, you can pollute, you can develop without regard to the impact of that development. But it goes into the ocean. It changes the ecosystem. It kills life in many cases. And we have dead spots now all around the world in the ocean where nothing lives, because we have stripped it of oxygen and we've filled it with nitrogen and with the runoff of our farming and of our developing around the world. And we have to really stop and reconnect ourselves to the role we play as human beings in this ecosystem. We're part of it. And we all depend on it, and we depend on its viability in order to be able to pass life on to future generations in a way that is sustainable. The word sustainable is grotesquely overused. Most people don't have a clue what sustainability really amounts to. And you can hear big corporations talk about their sustainability program, talked about by their sustainability officers, right? But very few entities on this planet are actually operating sustainably. Very few practices that we pursue are in fact sustainable. Anybody who thinks the rate of development of resource utilization on a planetary basis is sustainable does not measure where we're heading as we go from 8 billion people now on the planet towards 10 over the course of the next 30 years. So this is a big challenge. And Panama has accepted the challenge by hosting people from all around the world who will come together to talk about how we will protect the oceans. Let me just connect everybody, if I can, quickly. I'm delighted to be here with my good friend, Dr. Rick Spinrad, who's doing such important work in producing the foundation of thinking that allows us to deal with facts and to understand the implications of many of the choices that we make. It's interesting because the ocean, if you think about it, plays such an extraordinary role in literature, going all the way back in time. And it's played a huge central role in the lives of people all around the planet, many of whom are part of the $500 billion industry that depends on the ocean for food production, for protein, for life itself. But we really face this stark reality. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm trying to motivate people to see the connections between these things because it is manageable. But the fact is that 90% of all the heating of the planet from global climate change is subsumed into the ocean. And the ocean is warming. And it is warming at a rate that is changing the chemistry of the ocean. When you combine that with the reality that the way we have chosen to drive our vehicles, to propel and heat, to propel, you know, airplanes, to build our buildings, to live in buildings, to heat our buildings, all of the air condition, so much of the world, all of these choices put emissions up into the atmosphere. And we are not yet controlling those emissions sufficiently to be able to guarantee that we can reduce the impact on the ocean. What is the impact on the ocean? Well, when those emissions go up in the atmosphere, they travel around the world in the currents of air that travel around the world. And then when the rainstorm takes place with increased amounts of moisture that comes from the warming of the ocean, it falls in massive rainfall today, and it falls into the ocean, and it changes the pH, the acidity of the ocean changes. And that can change crustaceans' ability to be able to form their shells, clams. If you had a test and you took different levels of acidity in different, you know, basins or boxes or something, and you put clams in it, depending on the level of acidity, you'll have the size of a clam. It will affect the size of that clam. And so we have to connect these things. It's part of the interconnection of a biosphere, of an ecosystem. And the fact is that the ocean is now facing overfishing massively, much of it by some thousands of vessels that are illegal and are supported by whole nation states. That has to change. We need accountability on the ocean. When I was secretary, we used to have folks from the Pentagon come over, particularly the Navy. And we would talk about the way in which the navies of the world could begin, as they transition from their long voyages across the Pacific or the Atlantic or wherever, they could easily travel through a marine protected area. They could easily take a moment to have a, I was in the Navy. I mean, we would have, you know, loved to have a drill where you lower the boats and you go do a board and search, or you, you know, begin to enforce. It would have broken the boredom of a long journey. But we don't do that. We need to organize ourselves in order to fight to protect the ecosystem. And it is fully within our power to be able to guarantee a healthy ocean, to protect it for the future. As I listened to the minister from Panama talk about Panama's role and dependency, we were just chatting about the five forests in the region and the absolute essential ingredient called fresh water that is the key to the working of the Panama Canal. And if you destroy those forests and you destroy the cycle of a rainforest, which is one of the threats we face in the Congo Basin, in Indonesia, in Brazil, we threaten the capacity of economic enterprise to take place in an intelligent way, as well as life itself to survive. So the Ocean Conference is a moment, and particularly the Our Ocean Conference. We've tried to make it different from since 2014 when we started it. And we are now progressing to the 8th, and we'll be progressing on from there. Panama will pass the baton to Greece, and Greece will pass the baton to Korea. So this is going to continue. And our imperative of being responsible about things must grow with each meeting. We held the last meeting in Palau, quite extraordinary, Pacific Island. Several thousand people came. It was really remarkable in the middle of the Pacific, or in a corner of the Pacific Ocean. And we had some 100, well, we had about 400 individual commitments of specific programs that were made worth billions of dollars, about $16 billion to be precise. And the total of all of the conferences has produced more than $100 billion worth of initiatives to have marine protected areas, or to do set-asides, or to begin to educate people about fishing practices that are indeed sustainable, et cetera. So this is the work of this conference. And last year, we got more than 400 new commitments. It was the first ever island state, Pacific hosting of the conference. And now, in our country, the link between climate and oceans is becoming indelibly imprinted in people's minds. You cannot solve the problem of the oceans, i.e., bad emissions dropping into the ocean and changing the chemistry of the ocean. You can't change that if you don't deal with the climate crisis. If you don't step up and deal with energy policy, how we produce the heat, the propulsion, et cetera, for our life. And so it is imperative that we connect these now even more inextricably. The link of the ocean to climate itself, which I'm sure Rick will talk about, is enormous. And the major El Nino, El Niña, these are critical elements of what controls the temperature and the rainfall and the climate itself of our nation. So, folks, this is about as important a meeting as one could have. All of you sitting here today in the Wilson Center are part of an effort to try to broaden the base of support for this so that people all around the world will understand the connection. So children will think about the plastic that winds up being ingested by all of us as a consequence of microplastics that are the breakdown of plastic all around the world. So hopefully this will be a year in which we can achieve a plastic treaty in which we are really doing the job necessary to protect ourselves for the long-term future. Let me just say that it is also essential to deal with the ocean in order to hold the Earth's temperature increase to 1.5 degrees, which is the goal we set in Paris, reinforced in Glasgow, reinforced again in Sharm el-Sheikh, and will now, at the end of this year, be pushing even harder to reinforce when we go to Dubai, because we need greater mitigation than we've been able to achieve to this point in time. The United States has announced three new bilateral work streams to facilitate green shipping corridors within the Republic of Korea, Canada, and the United Kingdom. If shipping were a nation state, it would be the eighth largest emitter on the planet. So we have an imperative to move. I'm really proud to say that it was at the Our Oceans conferences that we first started focusing in on shipping practices. And now, as a result of that, we are seeing the largest container shippers in the world. 65% of the new ships ordered are ordered with dual fuel propulsion systems. And over 100 ships have been ordered that are now going to be zero emissions. That came out of the Oceans Conference and the participation of Maersk and other shippers who are part of this initiative. So we announced the development of the first U.S. maritime decarbonization strategy. It's currently underway. We announced a new green shipping corridor initiation project to try to green from the port to port and everything in between. And looking ahead, we are now discussing with our friends in Panama how we can contribute to that further, and we will have more to say about that when we go to Panama next month. So I just close by saying to everybody who's thinking of participating in the eighth Our Ocean Conference, we want everybody to participate, but we want everybody to act. We have to act. We don't just come together to chit-chat at a table. We're coming together to make commitments and to follow up on those commitments. This conference is not limited just to countries. It welcomes announcements that would come from industry, from corporations, from philanthropies, from science, from broader civil society. We need significant actions that everyone is taking to protect the ocean. And I look forward to hearing about your new projects to combat marine pollution itself, scale up ocean-based solutions, and particularly to attack this challenge of unreported, unregulated fishing, where we have fishing practices that are unacceptable anywhere. But if we continue at the rate that we're going, those of you who like sushi can say goodbye to blue tuna, and God knows what will replace it. But we are heading towards record low stocks in some of these areas that are critical to how we have accepted our lives to date. So let's go to work. See you all in Panama.
You've been listening to the new security broadcast from the Wilson Center. Thanks for tuning in. For more information, follow us on Twitter @NewSecurityBeat and visit newsecuritybeat.org.